The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, was engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to the public disgrace, he planned to dismiss her quietly. But just as he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated, and I'll invite any of the children who'd like to come up for a children's message to meet me up front here. Good morning. How are ya? Are you good? Have you ever thought what would happen if we didn't have names? Like, how would your parents call you? There would be a lot of, "Hey you, come over here," that type of thing, right? Right? Have you ever wondered how people got their names? I mean, there's, yeah, no? Some girls are married. Yeah, they are. Some aren't. Some girls are named after flowers, like Lily or Rose. Some after months of the year, like April, June, May even. Some boys are named after people in their own families, like their fathers or their grandfathers, stuff like that. And some people are just named because when the parents see their baby, they finally settle on one that looks like their child, right? It's very important that we have names. And you know, some names even mean different things. Do you guys know anybody named Grace? Grace means a blessing, right? Somebody named Clara? Right? You know what your name means? It means bright. Yeah. Zoe? I think there's you guys know a Zoe, right? Yeah? Her name means life. And then there's this name Calvin. You know that? And that means famous bearer. That's not Yogi, but it's somebody who brings something up to the king, a bearer of good stuff. And there's a name David, which means beloved. Abby, joy of the father. And even river, just meaning somebody from the river. But before Jesus was born, an angel appeared to his dad and said, "You are going to name Jesus, actually Emmanuel. You're going to name your baby Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Remember last week? Uh-oh. Last week, Jesus was stuck to the window. Now he's missing. But we know through our faith. Well, you know, if he was missing, I would say maybe he's in the tomb, but 3 days, that's all we have to wait. He will be back. Hopefully he'll be back before Easter. But God is always with us. That's what the promise is when Jesus was born. You will name him Emmanuel. And God, that means God is always with us, even though he's not here in a little figurine form. The Spirit of God is always with us. All right? So let us pray, because names are very important, and we will call Jesus by his name. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for giving us the gift of your presence to see and feel and be with within your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you're welcome to go back to your seats. All right. So always check your props before you plan on using them. Just note to the wise. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you. Amen. So I've been asked before by confirmation students, when we get to reading this type of information and the story of the Nativity, so is Jesus' full name Jesus Emmanuel Christ? Or what? Where does that go? How does that fit? Because we were told by the prophets that they were supposed to name him Emmanuel, but now Joseph hears from the angel of the Lord, you need to name him Jesus. Well, that's one for the mysteries that we can't possibly understand. But later on, we're going to talk about the combination of those two names and what that possibly could mean. So in this room, who are our planners? Who like to have plans before they start any type of show of hands? Who's the planner? There you go. Who are the people who are just like, plans are really confining and they don't allow me to be the person who I am? All right. So I don't know if you noticed in the back, but as soon as I said, who are the planners, my wife pointed at me. Because I like to have the plan. She's tired of hearing me say, what's the plan? What's going on today? Where are we doing? Where are we going? What do we have to do? I like the plan. I love to have the plan put together. My anxiety is raised when I do not have a plan. So this whole transition of putting my stuff on a truck and moving here has been so anxiety-filled. But now, I am happy to tell you that we are in our home. All my stuff is in our home. Thank God. My anxiety level is just, is down quite a bit. But I hate to tell those who don't even like to have plans, we usually plan. More than not. Our lives kind of dictate that we have some type of plan for, you know, our education, our work, marriage, children, until that plan falls apart, right? But it's good that we have that plan. It is very good that we have that plan in place. And I'm thinking Joseph was a planner, right? I mean, to actually come down, well, let's start this way. There's three steps to the marriage ritual back in his day. The plan would already be set at an early age. Parents would say, you can marry my son, you can marry my daughter, we'll pair these two up, this will be good for us, for our families, for everyone involved in the village. That's the way we'll do this. So then the second step would be a year before they were of age to be married, they would start a betrothal. So they'd be betrothed to one another. And they would actually be considered husband and wife, though they weren't legally husband and wife yet, they were recognized as that. So when we say that Mary was engaged and they still call Mary and Joseph husband and wife, it was during that time until later on. And then the third step would actually be the marriage proper, where they consummated their relationship and were legally married and recognized as such. So all the planning that went into that. Can you imagine at an early age starting to dream or to plan, rather, your life together with another person? And then getting closer to that 1 year betrothal and saying, oh, now it's almost close. It's almost here. How will we do A, B, and C? And what will that look like? And where will we live? And what piece of property will my father give us? And so forth. And won't it be a wonderful life once we can truly be legally married? And then all of a sudden, we have an unexpected pregnancy. You kind of wonder what the wheels were in Joseph's mind and all the planning that they had done and what is going on. We know that he loved her very much because he legally could have just pushed her out. And legally, Back then, she could have been put to death for what had happened. But he loved her. At least in my romantic mind, he loved her to say, I'm going to dismiss you quietly. No one's going to know. Go live your life. I'll go live mine. The plan is now a little bit different. But sure enough, as we plan, God laughs. And that's very cynical. So that's why I put the title, We Plan, God Plants Dreams. Because that's truly what happens, right? I mean, if I was back in high school and my plan was to be a doctor, that's a good thing. And people are lucky I'm not a doctor. My next plan was to be a music teacher. So I started college as a music in music ed. Well, certain things happen. God starts planting seeds. So I get a history degree. I do more planting. God plants more seeds, more dreams. And I become a salesman. Never thought I'd be a salesman. My wife never thought I'd be a salesman. But then the biggest dream ever was planted after that one. Randy, I think you're going to be a pastor. Didn't plan for that one. Totally didn't plan for that one. But the dream was already planted. And we hear a lot about, especially from Jeremiah, for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And we get stuck in kind of that route. It's like, oh, God had this plan for you. But that always makes me nervous because a lot of bad things happen that aren't God's plan. They just aren't. One of my best friends taught me this lesson from seminary. He was my best friend. He's the guy that got me through summer Greek. He was blind in one eye, was diabetic. And the reason that he was blind in one eye was he was premature. And when we, back in his day, they put him in the incubator and the oxygen level was too high and it caused his blindness. And I remember talking about plans and God and with him, and he's like, you know what? That was not God's plan. God did not plan that for me. And that has stuck with me because God does not plan certain things that happen to certain people or big tragedies or catastrophes that happen to large groups of people. That's just life. But that is why we have these dreams, right? That is why the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, you are going to name this child Jesus, and he's going to save his people from their sins. And that dream turned into our best hope. That dream turned into our salvation, which allows us to drop all of our plans. Because you know what? When we start planning, whether we know it or not, our plans include our insecurities, our fears, our biases, our greed, all that. But God says, no, I want you to hear this dream I have for you, for your church, for your people. Forget all that other stuff. I am Emmanuel, God with you, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to save you from all that. Don't worry about those plans. Focus on my dream that all people are going to be loved. All people are going to be saved. All people through my son and through this church are going to know the love of Jesus Christ. That's the dream that we all get to share in a couple days. That's the dream that brings us all together throughout the world. No matter what we think we have planned, God has planted those dreams in each and every one of us. Amen.